A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 18th March 2025. It's a Tuesday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at Volume 4, Chapter 3, Parables by Master Chen Hua. We are at page 684. As usual, we gather so that we can have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Hiền Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hiền Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hiền Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Bổn Sư Hiền Bồ Tát. Namo Bổn Sư Hiền Bồ Tát. Namo Bổn Sư Hiền Bồ Tát. Namo Thí Chúng Hoàng Bồ Tát. Namo Thí Chúng Hoàng Bồ Tát. Namo Thí Chúng Hoàng Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Namo Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sura Miraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Ganna Sarappa Dittena Dippena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang. Ganda Sambara Yottena ตุเปนะหังสุขังหินาปูจายะปูจานิยังตังปูจาปัจจานะมุตตมังวันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันตตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาดาสโรโรเหปูเจมิบดังกสุเมนาเนนปุณเณนามเตนะเจโหทุโมคังปูปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาลิปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Now we shall chant our puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to the ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect to Triple Jap. Badang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, as usual, we will be having our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. But today, before I commence, I would like to share with you all from this book, Ultimate Realization to Transcend Life. There is also one section on page 3, awareness-based meditation. This one is a very important sharing as given by me earlier on. But we were lucky because there is a sister Chui who feel that such beautiful Dhamma can benefit more people who actually are not so strong in their understanding of the Buddhist teaching. Then he said, these are the English-speaking cultivator who may want to learn the meditation, awareness-based meditation, but they got no way of understanding what I share, because when I share from my own understanding. And what I did was the English that I use are more towards the colloquial type, which only serious practitioner and those who have affinity with the teaching can understand. Then she said, what a waste, Brother Teo. She said, this could have benefited more people. Then she volunteered to help me to become the chief editor to help make the English clearer. So this was one of the very much later book that she has helped to actually polish it up. And because of that, I find it very useful, So I will read to you so that you all can develop the better understanding. Okay, page 3, subsection 5, awareness-based meditation. This was based on the Thursday class, dated 22nd February 2024, about 1 year plus ago. So the instructions are as follows. As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will turn off the light for you to proceed with your meditation. This awareness-based meditation is very important because it can help us develop the inner awareness or sati within. There are 4 support to develop this awareness-based meditation, and they are relax, maintaining awareness, stabilizing the awareness, and trust. So these are the 4 support. Relax means relax body and mind completely, so that there is no stress, no tension, nothing. Then I read on. As explained previously, the silent mind without thought is awareness itself. So mindfulness is basically an awareness before the knowing. When you are aware before the knowing without thought, that awareness itself is sati or mindfulness. Therefore, we need to develop that awareness or pure sati, mindfulness, and allow it to stabilize. That's why the second support after relaxing body and mind is to maintain awareness. However, it is not easy to maintain awareness, and it can be very difficult if you don't have the understanding. Maintaining awareness does not mean you have to create more thinking or verbalize. So maintaining awareness does not involve the creating of more thoughts or thinking or arising of the aggregates of mind. It simply means being aware, means maintaining the awareness of whatever arises at the sixth sense basis or sixth sense door, whether it's hearing, smell, taste, touch, sight, or thought consciousness, and allowing them to pass through without further engagement. That one is very important. After that, refrain from continuing to think. This one is very important. After becoming aware, if you proceed to perceive and engage in thinking, the mundane mind will arise, thought will arise. If you constantly do that, it develops into habitual tendencies, eventually leading you to become heedless or heedlessly lost in thought. That's why maintaining awareness can be challenging. To maintain awareness means to refrain from thinking or even knowing and not go beyond the pure perception, means the pure awareness or perception without the word, without the concept, without the meaning of what you perceive, means the pure perception before the knowing. So this one is not easy. That's why they say it's challenging. Because for me, I have been doing this awareness-based meditation naturally. So for me, it's very easy. But I didn't know normal people find it so difficult, very challenging. That's why she rephrased it to explain to people who are new or who are not familiar. Then, to make it more clear, she said, after perceiving through the hearing consciousness or the other senses such as smell, taste, tactile or thought consciousness, simply remain silent and maintain the awareness. That's why I say maintaining awareness, aware, finish. Don't try to know. Don't allow it to continue to proliferate. Then let it naturally fade away. This is very good. This is the part she added which makes it clear. Let it naturally fade away. Just be aware without attempting to know. This is also very important. Or engage in any activity via your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. Just relax, maintain awareness, and allow the mind to settle down. That's how you develop the awareness within. As long as thought does not arise, your mind, which is naturally aware before the knowing, before the mundane mind arise, you're supposed to stay there. Don't allow it to move. Then the third support, following the relaxation of body and mind and maintaining awareness, is to stabilize this inner awareness by continuously allowing it to remain in that state of awareness without thought. So this one is not easy. Initially, it's very challenging, very difficult. By doing so, the awareness will stabilize, allowing you to develop a very good and profound understanding of what this inherent awareness nature within is all about. Like I explained in the early days, our nature, the first thing to arise from that nature is actually that pure awareness nature before the thought process, before the arising of the mundane mind. So that pure awareness nature is actually your silent mind, your meditative mind, your sati or mindfulness. So this one, you have to maintain it, because from here, it becomes the thought very fast. It will perceive via your memory, your views, your opinion, your knowledge. Then from there, it will react and stir via your opinion, belief system, conditioning, etc. That's why that movement is very fast. That sankhara activity is very fast. So maintaining awareness, don't try to know, don't try to do anything, is very important. Where the thought is actively trying to know, trying to do. So when thought is active, you cannot be aware. You become lost in thought, preoccupied with what your thought is creating. It can be your emotion or fear, anxiety, insecurity, phobia, etc. Sometimes it's your worry, anxiety. All this can manifest, and these are negative mind state. We call it psychological memories that can trigger wrong thought, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So all these are the movement of thought. That's why if you are not trained, if your spiritual faculty are not there, you cannot maintain awareness. You cannot develop the stability of this awareness. So the third support is not easy to do. Then I read on. You listen. Realizing this pure awareness nature within, which is beyond thought, is very important. However, this pure awareness nature is closely intertwined with our thoughts. As thoughts arise very quickly from this pure awareness nature. This is why many people lacking proper understanding cannot realize the pure awareness within. They are accustomed to their mundane thinking. The mundane thinking mind and the thought processes, they arise very fast from that nature. Then they rely heavily on this thought process to live life, to understand things. And they think a lot as they have been so conditioned to do so since birth. Without thought, they feel that they are unable to function or live life. This factor contributes to why most people cannot develop this inner awareness to be mindful and to be aware most of the time. Understand this and you will make progress. Then I will allow you to develop the awareness within on your own. Remember the first three of the four support. Relax the body and the mind. Maintain awareness without trying to know or do anything. And simply just aware, aware, and aware. And then stabilize your awareness. For those of you who are accustomed to using specific object of meditation such as anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, or any other object of meditation that you are familiar with to meditate, you can use it as a skillful means to anchor your mind or anchor your awareness or mindfulness. It is your choice. However, if you can grasp the understanding, you can just use the four support that I have taught you, especially the first three support, to develop the mindfulness or the awareness within yourself. It is much faster. Then you can stay there to stabilize the awareness. You can do that. You will progress and understand all the Buddha's teaching very, very easily and quickly. To be able to develop this mindfulness or awareness within is very important. To maintain that state of awareness means you must stay in that state of awareness without thought for as long as you can. But most people cannot do so. They need a lot of training and understanding to develop that state of awareness. For those who have done it before, it's very easy, not a problem at all. Hopefully with faith and this understanding, you can develop the mindfulness or the awareness within. Now I will let you meditate on your own to develop the awareness within. For those who have already trained their mind and the awareness has stabilized, they can move on to do the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your inner nature to develop the meditative movements. Silence everything and let the awareness stay at your heart area. Then do not try to do anything via verbalization or allow your mundane thinking mind to develop the chattering. Do not try to know or create perception and thinking. Just let the awareness nature move on its own and let it detect whatever on its own. Whatever happens, just let it be. You must trust your own awareness nature within to do the meditation or the meditative movement. Do not allow the thought, the memory, and the thinking to interfere. All these are the mundane aspects of the thinking mind. The mundane mind is not your pure awareness nature. Your pure awareness nature is responsible for the arising of thought. See it clearly so that you understand. When you train your mind to develop this inner awareness until it stabilizes, you can see all these mental movements very clearly. Then you will come to understand that you have two minds. One of them is the true mind, or the silent mind, or the pure awareness nature within, before the arising of thought. The other is the creation from that pure awareness nature via the karmic process. All this movement and arising of thought are from the pure awareness nature. All this will become clear to you, and you will develop clear understanding of them. The first real and successful progress for those cultivating this awareness-based meditation is to realize this pure awareness nature within. This pure awareness nature is your true mind, your meditative mind. That is the one that can develop wisdom and understanding, and it can be awakened to. Use it to insight into phenomena, to observe silently, to develop the understanding and wisdom, and to realize the inner awareness nature, then stabilize it. Okay, so with this, I will off the final light, so that you can continue with your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. You can now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness within. Then you can make use of this meditative mind state of inner awareness to develop the meditative wisdom and understanding. Okay. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chyokawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang munirajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadang. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato อะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะอิติปิโสภะคะวะอะระหังสัมมาสัมพุทโธวิจจาระณสัมปันโนสุขโตโลกวิโดอนุตตรโอปุริสธัมมสารถิสัตตาเทวามนุสสานังพุทโธภะคะวะติสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติติโกอกาลิโกเอหิปัสสโกโอปานายโกปัจจตังเวทิทัพโววิโนหิติสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยาดีดังจัตาริปุริสโยคานิอัตตปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยตัคเคเนโยอัญจลิกาละเนโยอนุตตรังปุญญังเกตังโลกาสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเคyou all can be seated then we shall continue from where we stop huh? We are at page 684 huh? Okay, we will commence our continue sharing from thisBook, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We were at, I think, Ananda Sumbao. So Ananda spoke. He, after listening to the Buddha, he was inspired. So he also made that Bodhisattva, which is very, very profound and very strong.He said, if a single living being has not become a Buddha, he himself will not realize Nibbana. Or in the translation here, they put enter Nibbana. By right, you have the understanding. You cannot enter Nibbana. Where Nibbana is not a place. Nibbana is a realization.The realization come about when the mundane mind ceases, completely ceases, even the pure awareness also no more. So when this mundane mind ceases, means the mundane mind has developed the wisdom to realize itself and cease. Then you will realize what we call the unconditioned, which is,the realization of Nirvana. So, by right, the word enter is not correct. There is not a place where you go to. No. There is no being involved. It's just a realization that leads to that transformation. Then that cessation of form and mind leading to the perfect tranquility, stillness,and complete silence without anything. Even the pure awareness also no more, completely cease. Okay, I'll read on the sharing. So according to a commentary, as long as even one living being has not attained Sammasambuddhahood. Ananda will not become a Buddha either. This is a very great vow. Why does the Buddha ever grow weary? Oh, sorry. Why doesn't the Buddha ever grow weary? It is because he sees that all beings are in such great danger. Here they use the translation word as distress. Actually, it's not distress because they don't know what is happening through their delusion. They're still running around. So here in the commentary, it's worded differently. Yeah? They use the word great distress, running to and fro in frantic confusion all their lives. This one refers to those who understand, but those who don't understand, out of delusion, they still think that the samsara is beautiful, wonderful, and they are still heedlessly pursuing their craving, desire, and happily going about running around within the so-called burning house. You can see the danger. In fact, it is a burning hell, burning house. So here, the commentary says, in pursuit of the false, they forgot about the truth and have no thought to escape the burning house of the three rhymes. So these three rhymes, they refer to our 31 plane of existence. We have the sensual rhyme that has our human rhyme and the five other rhymes. The four woeful state, which is the demon rhyme. Then we have the animal rhymes. Then we have the peta rhyme. Then we have the hell rhyme. Then above us, the human rhyme, is the deva rhymes. So the deva rhymes consists of the what they call six deva rhymes above the human rhyme. Then together with the other five rhymes, the five rhymes of the human rhyme and the four willful state, they form the sensual rhyme. We call it sensual because this is the sensual world where your senses are very strong. We have our sixth sense door. So our senses can create the sense desire. So within this rhyme, we call it the sensual rhyme, there is this strong craving for the sense experience. That's why it's called the sensual rhyme. Then within this sensual rhyme, there is what we call the sensual rhyme of happiness. Or the sensual rhyme of suffering. So sensual in Pali, there is a word for it. They call it karma. Karma loka. Not the K-A-R-M-A, K-A-M-A. So karma loka is the sensual rhyme. Then the happy rhyme is karma sukati. This consists of the human rhyme and the deva rhymes. They are the happy rhyme. Then the willful state are the suffering rhyme. They call it karma dukati. Means suffering world of the sensual rhyme. Then above the sensual rhyme, we have the 16th state of Brahma rhyme. This one, the Buddha classified them as the form rhyme. Where the beings that take birth up there, they develop the four type of form jhanas. First jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and the fourth jhanas. So they are referred to as the form jhana rhyme. So the rhyme of form. Then above them, there are formal rhymes. They call it the formless rhyme, where the beings there develop the four formless rhyme jhanas, or they call it the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth jhanas. Yeah. So in Mahayana, they term them as si chan ba ting. That's why they call chan ting. Yeah. But the real samadhi is not that type of ting. That ting of the formless rhyme is different from the true samadhi. Yeah. So si chan ba ting is actually referring to the four form rhyme and the four formless rhyme. Yeah. So together with the six and what we call the six sensual rhyme, within the six sensual rhyme, the deva rhymes, there are another six. So it becomes 11. So 11 plus 16 is 27, plus the four formless rhyme is 31. That's how we have 31 plane of existence. But the Mahayana refer them as the six, what they call, liu dao lun hui, the six rhyme within samsara where people take birth, is actually similar to the 31 plane. Yeah. But they classify it differently. Yeah. They classify the deva rhyme, the brahma rhyme, and the formless rhyme as the heavenly rhyme. They call it tian fa jie. So you have the four willful state, asura, which is a demon rhyme, then animal rhyme, then beta rhyme, then the beta is also the hungry ghost rhyme, then the hell rhyme, yeah. Then together with the human rhyme, five, then the heavenly rhyme is the six, so tian fa jie. They prefer to use that as the six rhyme where people continuously take rebirth. So they call that samsara. Liu dao lun hui means birth and death. You go through samsara, the samsaric journey of birth and death. So all this explain the three rhymes, form, formless, and the sensual rhyme. Okay, now I will continue to read on so that you understand. The Buddha is very busy trying to find ways to save his children, sons and daughter, from this sea of suffering. So this is a direct translation from Mahayana Mandarin. Ku hai, sea of suffering. Or we call it the suffering rhyme or suffering samsaric world. He uses the power of his great compassion and wisdom together with spiritual power and various skillful means to try to save them. Then, like Ananda, make that same very severe vow or very great vow. He said, if even one living being has not been saved, the Buddha's mind will not be at peace. So this is a literal translation, because the Buddha's mind is always at peace because of the wisdom. The Buddha's work is to save or take across all living beings, so he has no time to rest or even enjoy himself. Then, as per my explanation in the last Tuesday sharing, The Buddha actually, during his time, 2600 years ago, when he arrives, he only lived up to 80 years old. Whereas a lot of his disciples, they managed to live up to 120 years old. It doesn't mean that the Buddha actually cannot live until that age. He can. But out of love and compassion for the living being, he continuously share and do his work. And because of what he did, he hardly sleep. He hardly rest. He got not enough rest. He sleep less than 1 or 2 hours a day. And most of the time, he stay awake to attend to many beings. According to many part of the sutta and the accounts of a lot of his close disciples, the top 10 disciples, it was mentioned that the Buddha hardly sleep. His lay duty already a lot, meet up with the lay people, his daily routine. So they said, when he wake up, he survey the world and see whether there is any being he can help liberate or bring about a causes and condition to develop the understanding of the Dhamma. Then he will go for his daily Pindapatha, arms around. Then along the way, he will know what to do. Then after that, he will go back to where he is together with the monks that follow him to have their meals. Then sometimes they are invited by dignitaries, even royalties, to their house for special house dana or offering and all those things. Then after that, he will give a Dhamma talk or sharing. Otherwise, he will give it to the lay people that accompany him or the monks that are with him. Then in between, there were many people who want to see him, seek his advice, talk to him and all those things. So he is already very busy. Then he schedule normally until late at night. Then when all the lay people no more, it seems, the deva comes. Then after the devas come, they got other beings that also seek his advice. Then the disciple, Ananda, they all, the close disciple, they also come at late night. Then by the time they finish, it's already very late. So he hardly sleep. And because of that, he got not enough rest. That's why he told Ananda when he was about to pass away. He said, 3 months from now, I will pass away. Means go through parinibbana. Then Ananda, upon hearing, become very sad. So he straight away cried and plead to the Buddha. Say, please don't leave us. He said, stay on. Then the Buddha told him, he said, don't be foolish. He said, this body of mine, he said, is already like a worn out block up, waiting to collapse any time. You some more want me to stay on for what? He said, for 45 years he has shared the Dhamma enough, he said. And because of that, here the sutta mentioned, go back to the sutta, see. He like don't have enough rest. So the Buddha's work is to save the living being until he got no time to rest. Then they add in the word or enjoy himself. Not to say he got time or no time to enjoy himself. He is always at peace. But to him, he sees the urgency. And he is very compassionate, very kind. So cultivators are the way who have the Dhamma understanding, especially bodhisattvas or great beings. They become very determined to fulfill their bodhisattva vows, to do the work, to help living beings realize the truth. And because of that, out of love and compassion, they will go all out and actually teach and share. But they know this physical body is not real. It is not what you think. That's why they can sacrifice. And even in the Jataka story, many lives, the Buddha, when he tried to develop the perfection, the 10 paramitas, Dana Parami gave, there were occasions where he gave away everything, including the test for him to give away his wife and his children. Then there was one incident, one of the tigress with a lot of cubs, he was wounded, then couldn't get food for the cub. Out of love and compassion, the Buddha at that time was the Bodhisattva. He decided to jump down and sacrifice himself as food for the tigress to eat so that he has the energy to go and hunt for food for the cubs. And this type of sacrifice are not for the noble cultivator. You need to really have that type of understanding. And they can do it. They can do it. That's why you will be amazed by the resolve of this cultivator, the great beings, especially the Buddha to be or the Bodhisattvas. They are very unique being. Okay. We read on. Always doing good deeds, the Buddha seeks to teach and benefit all living beings. Since he has already become a Sammasambuddha and is fully accomplished, he does not need to benefit himself anymore. He just wants to benefit living beings. Thus he is born in the old dilapidated burning house of the three realms. This is the analogy. The three realms are like a burning house that is about to fall apart. It is decaying and very dangerous. Why does the Buddha enter the burning house? He goes in to save all the children who are so caught up in their play that they are oblivious to everything. Means they don't know what is happening. Their houses, their country and everything else. Therefore the Buddha come to the three realms to teach and guide living beings to quickly wake up so that you no longer like sleep. When you become heedless, deluded, you are as if sleeping. Means you are not alert, not awake. Doesn't know the danger of samsara. Okay, so we finished that part of the sutta, then now we go to the next part. In order to save living beings from birth and death, birth, old age, sickness and death, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, grief, suffering, distress, ignorance, darkness, and the fire of the three poison, greed, hatred, and delusion. He teaches them and inspires them to attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. So this is a supreme vehicle teaching. So we go to commentaries. Why did Sakyamuni Buddha come to the dreadful burning house of the three realms? He came in order to save living beings. Living being doesn't know enough to be afraid. They had no desire to wake up or to know that there is no peace within the three realms. So deluded being, Putujana, who cannot see, who are full of ignorance and delusion, they end up that way. Whereas the enlightened ones, they can see clearly. To them, this is a burning house. It's very dangerous. Yeah. That's why they will diligently strive on with heedfulness to liberate their mind, to free their mind. The Buddha come to save living beings from birth, old age, sickness and death. The suffering we undergo during our birth is as painful as that of a live tortoise having its shell ripped off. So this is the analogy here. Old age is even more painful. When you are old, you feel confined to or confined in everything you do. Your four limbs, your bones, your eyes and ears deteriorate in varying degrees. It's really distressing. When you are young, you feel youth, strong and healthy. But when you are old, you aren't in control. You are weak and fragile. The distress worsens if you become sick and be bedridden, immobile for a long period of time. As for death, the pain of dying is like that of a cow in skin alive. So this is the analogy that Xuanhua has given us. But as cultivator of the way, we really need to develop the contemplative wisdom of the first noble truth, eight reality. These first four, birth, old age, sickness and death, are the first four of the eight reality. And they are very important. So maybe we make use of this session, yeah, to develop the understanding. In the past, in the early day, I remember when I go through this birth, old age, sickness and death, most people are not really keen to listen because most of them at that time were still young. Then they say, I have got time to listen to all this. This one got nothing to do with me. But they are still in their prime, in their youth. Especially in the early days when I was in the uni, joining the Buddhist society. Then at that time, all the Dhamma talk, Dhamma sharing, we were all so young in our early 20s. Then we graduated at the age of 24. Still very young at that time. And to us, you don't talk to us about old age, sickness and death, because that is like very far away and not important. But people cannot understand. In fact, at that time, when I look at life, I also didn't know the seriousness of this four reality. Yeah. Until later part, when I grew up, then when I go through all the phases of life until now, 71 already, then I was observing my parents, my grandparents. Yeah. Then even my relatives and some Kayanimittas and all those things, they are really going through all these phases, and you can see the real deep meaning that the Buddha tried to proclaim under the first noble truth reality. In fact, I did share on birth. At that time, I share in quite detail when I came out to teach in the year 2004. Because the second turning contemplation very important. So to us, most people, especially modern day society, married couple, or people who has become parents, to them, having a baby birth is a happy occasion, because most of them look forward to becoming parents, then looking forward to having grandchildren, especially the parents of the couple. Then they also look forward to the new moon birthday and all those things. Then celebration, the joy. But they didn't see the other aspect of birth. Sometimes not all birth are straight forward, smooth sailing. It may involve complication, especially nowadays. I don't know whether it's due to society's evolution or what. I think that one also play a large part. But during the early days, I remember my parents' time, my mother, they all, most of them, they can give birth to 9 or 10 or no. And quite common. No. Like Yun Chan, say Raymond Sai got 12. Then it's quite common. And to them, birth is like very easy. Like my mother, all born survive healthy honestly, until the neighbor knew. No. They got one children, their grandchildren that was born. A lot of sickness, a lot of disease, a lot of problem. Then life was not easy. So finally, the mother was observing. He said, "You go and request from our neighbor, is it? Ask for their help, is it? You're this son, is it?" He tell the daughter. He said, "You go and like let them adopt, is it? Kekia, so kekia. Let them adopt. Because all his children are born normal, healthy, very good parameter, is it? You go and let them adopt." Then they came over, they talked to us nicely, then they, of course, bring along offerings and all this. So my father was full of joy. He said, "No problem, no problem." And surprisingly, you won't believe us. So the moment that my father and mother adopted that child, he recovered from all his severe sickness and all those things. And he grew up into a very healthy boy. Then after that, after he grew up, he become a very like not only normal smart kid and all those things. Then when my father passed away at the age of 60, he came and joined us in the ceremony, wearing the you call it the toha is a what you call that in English? Mowing clothes. And he was very failure. So a lot of these things you can observe and you can see. But nowadays, the modern mama, you look at them because they have to work. I think society is different. And most of them don't have much kid, one or two. You can have 3 or 4 already, fantastic, right? But most of them, because of work condition and stress, they got to go through cesarean or no. And most of them, while they conceive, the first few may not make it or no, because of the stress and all those things. So these are the things you start to see. Yeah? That's why I say they are not as strong, because they have to work a lot of what they call society's evolution has caused all this. Yeah. So when it comes to birth, nowadays, maybe you can see, not easy. Like my son, he start to understand, well, is it not easy to have a kid, is it? A lot of sacrifice, a lot of what they call work to do. Not only the whole family busy, everybody involved also need to help out. And he said, very tiring. Yeah. I said, you only have one, no? Then he said, yeah, he said, during my time, I only have two. And he said, it must be not easy for us. I say, you have to go through, yeah, this is life, these are the realities of life and existence. So this reality, as civilization evolve, the reality of life and existence also evolve to become more and more sophisticated and different. So the reality of birth, especially when there is complication, when the doctor, that follow up on the case, they may come out with certain type of concern. Then if the birth is not normal, like breech condition or the leg come out, they will recommend cesarean and other things. Then sometimes if it's not the normal birth, nowadays a lot of test tube baby, all those things. It may lead to other type of complications. Sometimes, because of circumstances, they need to prematurely induce the birth and all those things. And it's not easy. Yeah. That's why all these other later evolved new complications. Then when you are in a dilemma, when the doctor come out and ask you who you want to save, the baby or the mother, wow, that one really stressful. Yeah. And a lot of what they call suffering, or what they call the reality of birth, which leads to suffering. That's why the Buddha used the word birth is suffering. Because with birth comes what? All is sickness and death. The reality, the other eight realities. So this reality itself is very clear that birth is indeed suffering. Then the sacrifice, the stress that the parents, the in-law, the grandparent, and those who have a relationship with that children, actually they are all affected. Yeah. That's why when things take its course, sometimes it may not be a smooth sailing type of birth process. So the negative possibility can trigger a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Then nowadays is even more complicated. Last time very simple. To give birth, very cheap. Like my case, my daughter only paid $9 to the hospital. My son, $18, bill admitted today, government servant. Then the rest is affordable. Well, nowadays they told me it's not cheap. Everything is very expensive. And all the things that are related to the baby is not cheap. Sometimes you go private hospital, the bill can be very, very high. Then you got a lot of other type of charges and all those things. But if we can skip birth, we go to old age, sickness, and death. This one, the reality is more pronounced or more clear as you go through the phases of life, as you age yourself. Yeah. Then you realize the reality of aging is a process. We have gone through the growth phase as a kid, the growth hormone, everything. Then we reach puberty. Then after that, we are at our prime. Then after a certain age, maybe 20-something, near to 30, you realize your growth hormone starts to plateau already. Then you start to age. And when you start to age, you look at your photo, every decade, very different. Then your hair also change color. Then the health is the worst. A lot of people nowadays actually die young. A lot of the kids nowadays, very young, got depression already. Go and see psychiatrist already. Then some got very strange type of disease, like heart attack and all those things. Then I think it's from work stress, work stress and all those things. Then from the food we eat because of society's evolution and all those things. Then the other thing is also, as we age, our senses starts to deteriorate. Yeah, because nowadays, very young, even during my time, technology not so good. We actually, those who study, you have to go and make your spec, all those things. Nowadays, they have a lot of what they call technological advancement. They can do laser for you, or they call LASIK, all those things. Then they can have that type of spectacle that can let you see far and see near simultaneously, all that. But you have to pay for it and all those things. Then even your teeth to maintain is not cheap. Go and see dentists. They come up with a lot of ideas. They say, you have to do root canal, do all the, what they call, what you call that? You put the false tooth over it, crown. Then they like engineer, they got bridging. Then they got grouting. And not cheap. Then when you reach old age, the bill is really gum problem, they call it. And there was one old man, I think, older than me by about, not that old, at the most 5 years old, 75, 76. He came out from the dentist. I was sitting next to him. He complained to my wife. He said, these dentists are mad on us. The wife asked him why. He said, he threatened me with gum problem. He said, if you don't get it done and treated, your gum can become cancerous. Then he asked him, how much? He said, one tooth, 10 to 20,000. Don't know do what, I also don't know, he said. Then he said, the whole the gum that he's in trouble, he need to do, he said a few hundred thousand, so to get it back. Wow, he said, never mind, he said, I would rather suffer a bit, he said. So, many things. Then overseas also they say the cost of dental is even more expensive. Here already very cheap. Our senses, our eye, our hearing, and I heard all those old people telling me the hearing aid are not cheap one. No, you buy cheap one, no use. Even 20,000 one hearing aid is still not the good one. Not top of the range. Still got problem. Then, when it comes to what they call disease, worse still with it. Especially those who go through old age. What they fear most is where they fall down. Every time fall down, severe consequence. Just like this afternoon, one Kayamita came with us, went for lunch. He said he got one, I think, related to her one, the cousin or one. Oh no, not cousin, the sister's cousin or one. I think the mother quite old. Then the mother got dementia and all those things. Then she actually developed problem, but the children didn't understand. Then she fell. First time fell, go hospital, operation, not cheap, suffer. Then second time also, fell again, not careful. Then after that, they say, you better hire a maid to look after her. They hire a maid. The maid come, still fall, third time, three operations within 1 or 2 years. That's why a lot of suffering. And that Kayamita is still younger than me, but also not that young, I think around 60s or other, early 60s. He said, not easy, Then there's another Kayamita who went with me to Switzerland. The parent, 84 years old, 87, 85. And they are considered blessed and healthy, And yet, as they reach the age, the vision, the hearing, then they also, one of them also fall, I think. We are of the neighbor's dog and all those things. Then admitted. Then they have a lot of other old age sickness and disease related type of problem. Luckily, they are government servant. Then Chupolian helped to look after Chupolian. Chupolian said he saw the father walk. He also worried for the father. He said, not steady already. Yeah, not an easy task. When you reach 80 something, actually a lot of things. Then they dare not drive, they dare not travel. Then they are dependent. And my neighbor also quite bad. Both the children overseas. One of them is a doctor in UK. Then the son is in Singapore. They are very good children, but they are not around. So both also 80-something. Then the husband got dementia also, got problem. Sometimes walk out, SS2, don't know how to come back. Then the wife go to Google and look for him. Then got one day, he lost. He don't know what to do, then he need to rest. He sat down on the floor. He cannot stand up. So it was very bad. Then he cannot remember a lot of things. The car, the wife sold off. He still thought he got a car. He tell me the car was stolen. And I helped him to go and look at the guardhouse video for 2 hours. Then I called him, asked him to call the wife. Then the wife told me, don't believe him. Is it? His car long ago sold off already. Is it? So all this type of thing is happening. Then later on, when his situation was so bad, the children came back. They decided to put him in they call it old folks home. But there's a better name for it, where the old people go and stay. But he was in that state that he cannot take it. Within less than a week, he passed away. Then after that, the wife, also 80 old, he got kidney transplant and all things. Then cannot really walk properly. Also got problem. Then within less than a year, I think, he tried to bring her to Singapore. Not easy. Then only last few days, the mother also passed away. But it's a great relief for the children. So at least everything settled. But during that period, not easy. That's why if you want to understand old age sickness and finally death, death of course also very traumatic, because many people didn't realize the suffering that comes with death, especially the death of a breadwinner, then the death of a very close friend or spouse or whatever. I got one classmate also, same. His wife passed away, and we thought he very strong, very independent. Then we saw him deteriorate, and so sad. But now he recovered already. We call him and he asked him to come out. Then in the class dinner, I was sitting next to him, then we talk. Then I asked him how. He said initially it was not easy, but luckily the children very good. He said he only come to realize how bad it was after it happened. He said the wife was in charge of almost everything, the household, everything, you know, even his rental property tenant, or he don't know who rent, who stay, you know. The wife handle everything, you know. Even hiring maid or whatever, household thing. Then the office owner, admin, everything, the wife take charge, you know. He run outside, he's an engineer like me, civil engineer. Then he maintain the office because he wants to keep the staff, because he pity the staff. If he closed down, all the staff retrench. So he just... But then once the wife, no more, oh, he realized like everything was in a mess. No? Until he was so worried. And his house so big. No? You think my house bigger? His house is 3-4 times my size. Bungalow, very big. Then luckily the children are all very successful, stay outside. But after that thing happened, they came back and purposely stay with him, no, the father. That's why you got blessed children and all the things who understand. Then he put through. But it was not easy, he told me. Is it everything, is it? He didn't realize until it happened. Then I say it's normal. Yeah, you have been spouse for so long and happily married, successful, travel together. Then suddenly this thing happened. The dependent is there. So when you look at the reality of birth, always sickness and death, without the Dhamma, you really suffer. Yeah. But with the Dhamma understanding is different. You do your duty, understand? Duty is very important. You do your part. That is the reality, you understand, of life and existence. Not only you go through, everybody has to go through. You complain also no use. You have to understand that these are realities. If you don't take care of karma, this thing will happen. If you take care of karma, not so bad. Then when you can accept the reality, you can confront it with understanding and wisdom, that everything is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Condition like that, things will be like that. Everything unfolds naturally. And after all, when you have the understanding, the form and mind is not really what you think. This one is just phenomena, condition arising phenomena. Karmically conditioned out a vehicle and a tool for you to use. So use it. Do not be deluded by it. Do not attach. Do not cling. Do not grasp. And do not become miserable over what happened. Yeah, these are reality. Each and every living being, you have to confront them. And when you have the Dhamma understanding to confront them, you are different. That's why you can come to terms with all this reality. Despite experiencing the 8 reality, you can be at peace. And that is the beauty of the teaching. So hopefully with this sharing, you all can develop the clear understanding. Then you contemplate on your own. Then you will develop deeper and deeper, more stable, penetrative understanding. Okay, I have to end already. Almost 10 o'clock already. I finished the top part already. We stop here. Just nice, okay. Then the next part, we will continue the next session. Okay, I mark this page. We open up for second session, which is meditation, reporting, or asking of questions related to the teaching or the meditation or anything that is related to your experience of Dhamma in daily life, how you can make use of this teaching to help you understand life and share all this with Kayamita who may not have the understanding.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamita. That day, I was talking about my Switzerland trip. Religious routine 我做了我的 我点香 parents 拜了，然后我就有一个习惯去把那个楞严咒开。
哦，啥咒？嗯。
So, 因为我的schedule 很 busy， 所以我一般现在就没有时间坐着念，所以我只是听的。
嗯。
但是那天是我星期六，我记得是星期六，我来 PJ 做我的 henna treatment。
嗯嗯。
然后我就回去的时候11点多。
嗯，
那我感觉哎，干嘛这样爱睡的？
哦，
然后我就把那个 yoga mat 铺在地上。
嗯嗯。
然后一般那个时候我是没有听经了的。
嗯。
但是我也不懂为什么那天我就很自然的去开那个楞严咒。
嗯。
开了之后，然后我就躺在那个 mat， 那我躺下去，它很快的，我就觉得那个 awareness 跟那个 chanting 是一起了的
become one,
okay,
yeah,
一起，然后起初是用耳朵听，然后过后一阵子就在 heart 那边就它就好像 merge 在一起
yeah, yeah, yeah.
然后 merge 在一起之后，我感觉到它就是一个 flow 这样，它跑进去里面，然后我就好像睡了，
哇，啥都，
然后就当我出来的时候，其实在我的感觉上，它是一刹那罢了。
对对对。
但是我出来的时候，几乎是40多分钟。
嗯嗯嗯。
那时候是12点多。
嗯。
那第一个事情，我的 habit 就是去煮饭哦，十二点多要煮午餐。
嗯。
然后 first。Thought came to me was tom yum mi hun， OK， 我去煮 tom yum mi hun， 然后我就没有给他任何的 contemplation， 因为也没有什么。
嗯。
然后过了大概一个星期还是什么，当 brother Dio 在sharing 的时候，那个 four circle 就忽然间咻这样跑来，
哇，杀掉！
我就哎啊就这样哦。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
就明白了，就是这个 experience 给我的 understanding 是从怎样从这个 mundane 的所谓的conscious mind 回去到那个所谓的什么都没有的那个experience。
嗯。
So maybe Brother Dio 要给我一点什么的 advice？
可以，可以。
Brother Dio，
杀掉杀 ，Let us rejoice。Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So what happened is most people who has developed the cultivation, but for her case and some of the Kayamita is they have already detected the gateway, they already know how to go in. So for them it's different, that cultivation is different. So what happened to those cultivators who has these abilities, like she described, that is one of the I should say one of the possibility of condition that manifests for it to happen. So normally if you feel sleepy, I also used to advise Song Day or last time where they progress faster early on. I said when your body wants you to meditate, you will know one. Because for no reason, he make you feel very sleepy. Yeah, but you also have to be careful. For some people, if you are diabetic, when you are diabetic, you also develop sleepiness. Especially after meal. Diabetic one is after meal. But if you feel sleepy, not because of after meal, then it's a good sign. Yeah. But sometimes you're not enough rest, you're tired, you feel sleepy, it's normal, but the body is tired. But this one, you actually... not because of diabetes, but when the time comes, it wants you to meditate, it will make you feel very sleepy. You know? Then you try to stay awake. Because during the early years of my cultivation, actually I went through a lot of situations which give rise to all this. I remember after 1989, very strange, you know? Initially, it's like I just lie down to rest. Then, of course, you're supposed to sleep. Then, because I was fully aware, They're very funny, you know. The awareness when, you know. Then all of a sudden, the awareness make you very, like, sleepy, you know. Like, you have to close your eye and, like, just blank off. Yeah. Then sometimes it will condition you into a subconscious dream state like that, you know, that you are driving, you know. And if you are driving and sleepy, yeah, it's very dangerous, one, because you don't know whether it's you are in the subconscious dream state or you are actually driving. If you are actually driving, if you doze off, then it can be very, very serious. But what happened was, because I was fully aware and I know what that thing is, so I just let it be. Then I shut off my mind. I just let it go in. Then it went in. Then it's like the whole thing ceases. Then the whole mind become very different. That's why I saw the four circle formation. Or the, how from the conscious mind, it developed that subconscious, it conditioned you into that sleepy state. Then if you do not be, you are not deluded by it, you will know what to do or no. You just silent and go in. Then it will go into that state, which is the pure awareness. Then the pure awareness also sees that you went in. Then it will do its thing. Yeah. Then sometimes it can transform into other state. I remember when I was developing the meditation, I felt like very tired. Not tired, sleepy. Then I just stop my car. Then I rest. 5-10 minutes, I like fully charged. I become very fresh again. Then actually that time it was the meditative movement inside. Because the nature know that you have to meditate. The energy and the whatever condition outside is very conducive. And you have to do it. That's why every time I feel like I have to rest, yeah, I have to go and rest, means do the meditation, I was just going. Then that time, the internal movement and transformation was very fast. That's why I went into all those stages, the four circles. Then I came out of it. And when I came out of it, I saw all those things. Yeah. But the first time it happened was when I was in Cameron Highland, 1989, the 5-day retreat I told you. That time, my whole nature transformed. I went into the cessation. Yeah. But it was a glimpse only. Then after that, I came out. Yeah. Then later on, my mind went into the oneness nature. The whole thing is one with everything. Then like very distant object and all those things. My nature, yeah, I want to know, I can know. And when I talk about distant, it's not about this planet or no. It's way, way beyond or no. Very, very far. So this type of oneness nature of that nature inside, yeah, is so different. That's why I know it's without a center on. Is spacious awareness expanding, unending, without a center. Then it's one with everything. Then whatever, how far or how remote that thing is, you want to know, you can know. It's like you are near there or no. Then I tested it and all this thing. Yeah. Then, of course, later on, I went through a lot of this transformation, and that's why I can teach you the four circle formation. I saw how all these things happen. Then how from that nature, the first thing to come out after I came out of the cessation is the pure awareness nature. Then the pure awareness nature from there, it actually is at the heart area there. That is split into three areas of consciousness. And then one go to the brain, it activate this brain, the dynamo, zoom, start again. Like this one become a human being again. The fire aggregate start again. Yeah. But very slow. When I saw it for the first time when I was in the bus, the sense data coming in, I know it's coming in already. Yeah. But when I came out of that thing, I remember the first time, it was so slow. It took me quite a while. And I didn't talk on that time. You cannot talk on, no thinking. Then that nature starts to develop the other area. First time, it let me see how the sense data come in. Then my nature, like no one know, is going to come and make contact with the sense basis. Then from there, how the brain, the memory, retriever, then how it trigger off the conscious mind, how the mental intention, the views, the opinion, how it going. But because of the Dhamma understanding, it was not like the normal mundane mind, very fast. No, everything like slow motion for you to see. That's why I developed the clear understanding. Then I knew not long I will return back to the normal consciousness as a human being again. That's why all this allow me to see and understand. Then later on, I saw the five aggregate of form in mind very clearly, the mental one. Then I can be at the moment of sense experience, how the pure consciousness arise, like the Buddha said. In the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness, only that light bulb, light cup, no one to see. The pure perception, the pure observation of what is through the awareness. No thought involved. No perception through the memory, the brain. Then, because no perception, there is no views and opinion to stir it and condition it to what it is. Then all this like slow motion. Then I can stop there or not. I can be at the moment of feeling. It become pure feeling. It cannot move because of the yoni so manasikara. Then at the moment of perception, it can just stay there. Like, tak, but no sound. Stay there. Then I want to know, I can know. I don't want to know, I can just move. Yeah. Then every moment of perception, every moment of movement of thought, sankhara, the emotion cannot come out or no because of the wisdom. You can be at peace or no. You can be at peace with every situation. Then your mind does not stir like before already. Then I realize, how come there is clarity? My mind not cluttered, not clouded. Then all this like become different now. Until later on, the mundane mind collapsed at time. I saw everything now. Like I never see all this before now. But cannot be. Since birth until now, everything is the same. My conscience is the same. How come last time before the mundane mind collapsed, I cannot see all this now, the universal characteristic? But after the mundane mind collapse, everything is so clear, as clear as daylight. You know. Then all the movement, all the activity, like slow motion or no, like there is no mind inside there or no. Then I realized, how come like that? For 4 or 5 days, you know, I was in that state, you know, of pure nature, shine forth, the awareness. And just aware, you know, like inside there, no activity, no mind, nothing. But then no mind, nothing, how can I know thing? How can I live as a human being? So I have to learn how to use that mind. Then later on only I come to know, this is the supramundane mind, no longer the thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is very gross. That one collapsed already, no more already. From here, drop off already. Then I have to learn to use that pure mind again, or that supramundane, pure awareness mind again. And later on, over a period of, I think, almost a year or two, then I become normal again. Yeah. That's why I understand the third type of seeing of the Zen tradition, the Mahayana teaching. Kan san si san. That one is mundane seeing. Then kan san, pu si san, we have the direct seeing, no word, no concept, nothing on. Nothing to label you on. Kan san, pu si san, where you see things as they are, without the concept, idea of mountain or those things. It's just the pure seeing. the direct seeing. Then after that, that wisdom also transcends, no? Until the mundane mind collapse. Then you become normal again, no? Then that time, you see things as they are, no? Kan san yu si san means what? If the deluded one or Puttijana come and tell you, this is mountain, you can also accept. No conflict. Yeah, mountain. Kan san yu si san. But the enlightened one come, kan san pu si san, yeah, pu si san. Because you understand. Understand, no? And the understanding is what they call the wisdom that is in the state of upeka. You don't argue with people anymore. Understand, no? The thing is just the way it depends on what level you are, what type of seeing you manifest. Understand, no? Everybody is different. Understand, no? That's why finally I came out with the understanding to teach you all. Living beings are just the way they are. Deluded one, they will act deludedly. Understand? Angry people do angry thing. Foolish people do foolish thing. Deluded people do deluded thing. They are just the way they are. Selfish people do selfish thing. Emotional people behave emotionally. They are just the way they are. So condition like that, things will be like that. So the whole world, the whole lot of phenomenal world is like that. Condition like that, things will be like that. And living being is just the way they are. Cannot be otherwise. That's why you start to develop the wisdom to be at peace with everything. Then you only know that the form and mind is not real, but it's subject to karma. You do your duty. And that do your duty means you have to manifest. You have to act. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. That one is all deluded on. With all the psychological memory, the evil roots of greed, hatred. But acting following the Dhamma way, which is wisdom, is totally a different action. Where that action is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and you. That one, no negative come out. That one, all follow the nature's law, the karma niyama, until it is perfect. Until it is incapable of negativity and evil. So that one is how the enlightened being goes through the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, to live the life of an enlightened being. So they are always in the understanding, with the understanding to accord and flow. And they are incapable of evil. And everything they do, inside with the wisdom and understanding, right? And they do in a way that living being cannot understand. Unless you are also having the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom, then you will know why they do things that way. Otherwise, very difficult to comprehend. So these are the phases that cultivator will go through. But for her case, she actually connect it with the sutta, which is her past life cultivation. She listen, then sometimes is she go and reflect, contemplate, and she study them. Then this is the phase where she connect back to that nature. Then she will go in. She will go in. And all this will happen over long period of time. It is unending. How long it takes depends on the individual. Because for me, I remember within 9 months after I located the gateway, my mundane mind collapsed. Then after that, I inherit from my spiritual nature. Everything came back. Then from there, I become so different. A lot of the understanding that I never learned this life on. Not even from those who teach me or guide me. Because if I don't learn this life, then how did I know them? It's through my spiritual nature that I inherit. Yes, past life already cultivated. Then after that, this one, the nature inside, keep on transforming. You know. In fact, until now is already 35 years old. 89, 36 years already coming to. 36 years, still not finished. Still continuing, but almost like
every part, front and back, all, the whole nature open up already. It's like void inside there. Yeah. And I don't have that mundane mind for very long already. Since, I think, late 89, I think. Well, early 89, I connect. Then within 9 months, late 89, my mundane mind collapsed. Then after that, that nature continued to transform. Then a lot of things happen. That's why I say, unless there is condition, I cannot share. Unless somebody go through the cultivation, then you share or you ask that question or you share your meditative experience, then my nature will know that I can guide you or explain to you what happened and how you can continue from there. That's why all this need causes and conditions for it to arise. Yeah. And it's not easy to understand all this. That's why I say, you are new, don't worry, yeah? Take your time. Well, this type of cultivation, you need to have your past parami and also the faith together with the causes and conditions for it to unfold. And don't worry. Don't try to, like, too eager to progress and all those things. When the time comes, when the condition fall into place, sometimes without you knowing, you can progress very fast. Like a lot of the Kayamita, last time they thought they very child, and they don't know anything, like they are still like very child. But suddenly when the time come, they progress very fast. Like Po Cheng, when he joined me, she was like, she said, "But you, I everything also don't know one, very new one." Then suddenly within 2-3 years, I think the third year, he determined to be very serious. Then he wants to prepare herself to go to Cameron Retreat again. MCO. So MCO cannot go. Then it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Then I shared the Heart Sutta over 8 months. Where she stay in Singapore, she seldom come here. Then he listened attentively and follow instruction, just direct simple instruction. And she did it, and she really connect back. And he developed the, what they call, ability to locate the gateway, and that thing happened by itself. And she was full of joy. That's why after that she reported the thing. Then she looked forward to the next retreat, which happened, I think, in the year 2020. Then 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. And now 4-5 years, she progressed very fast. And she developed very rapid understanding and progress. And her daily mindfulness, everything fall into place. That's why you can never know when the time comes. At first, her sister is supposed to be longer, follow me much, much earlier. Then the sister want to help Po Cheng, so ask Po Cheng to come and join my class. Then it turned out, finally, when he connect, he moved faster than the sister. The sister now cannot catch up with her. Well, the sister have different training and different, what they call, cultivation. So it was different. So it depends on how things unfold. Yeah. The sister also used to attend our Tuesday class very often. But this 1-2 months, I didn't see her. Oh, the leg. The leg of problem. Oh, yeah, no wonder I didn't see her. But she has faith because of the sister. She trusts her sister very much. So she has very strong faith. Yeah. So all this can become possible. So don't be like too eager to progress. Just have faith, then be sincere. Then just do. Just do means don't worry about whether you progress or you don't progress. When you have faith, you develop the sincerity to walk this way. Then you persevere. Persevere means you make sure you have this, what they call, perseverance to continue. Then the time will come. then everything will fall into place. Then suddenly you will progress very fast. Or you will move fast. Well, that faith can move heaven, can move the great beings. When you have that faith, their nature knows, then it will manifest a condition for it to connect one. So a lot of things, sometimes you go to retreat, like a lot of Kayamita, the Sampo temple there, the great beings nature, the Virochana Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Chun Ti Pusa, Maitreya, then you also have this Tisang Wang Pusa, you also have this Wen Su Pusa, Pusen Pusa, and a lot of great beings there, cultivator of the way. And sometimes they pass message to you without you knowing it. Sometimes you may know because you feel it. Then like somebody talking to you like the message come to you direct while you are in that state where you have the faith, then all these things will happen then it will create very conducive causes and conditions for you to meditate then when you go there and meditate you just relax, silent, do the four support that I teach you then you progress very fast and your mind transforms very fast and you become very different. Stay here at the heart more and more, more and more. But you stay here, the brain, what happens is, here, all your senses are there. Then this is where your memory is. So this is where you retrieve very fast. But when you move it down to your heart, you are away from the memory. Here, if you have the wisdom, means you have the wisdom. So initially, like disconnected from the memory. But don't worry. Learn to listen from here. Learn to live from here. Think from here. Do everything from here. Yeah. Then you realize that nature will start to open up. But this one is sensitive one. When you are more and more aware here, you open up one. Otherwise, you cannot open up one. I remember in the early day when I pay respect like that, there's an energy with the faith, everything. It open up here. Then I realize here starts to become sensitive first. Then because I did anapanasati, then I know how to relax and maintain awareness. Then this one start to move. Then later on, when I met my last guide, he showed me where the gateway is. By then, I already have the sati. I already developed my mindfulness already. That's why I straight away knew what that gateway was. I straight away relaxed, maintained awareness, and silent. Well, I already know how to do it. So, the four support, the first three I already can do. But I don't know where the gateway is. And I don't know about trust at that time. Until he told me, he said, because when the first time I met him, I remember he asked me, where do you return your awareness? He don't say mindfulness. He don't like that word. He said, where do you return your awareness? I point to the center of my heart. That was where I returned to. Last time I didn't know. He straight away tell me, straight in the face, no, wrong. And he use his hand, he moved slightly towards the left. He said, not everybody same, but most people is towards the left. Then I just have faith and I understand. I say, okay. Then after that, I took him for dinner. But at that time, until quite late, almost 8:30, they still haven't taken their dinner. They waited for me and my wife. So we took them for dinner there, and there we chat. Then we came back. First thing he did was, he held my hand, he said, Theo, do you trust me? I said, 100%. Then he said, sit down. Then I sat down. His hand was about 2 inches away from my heart here. 2 inches, slightly towards the left. Then I felt a very fine energy went in, you know, and activated that gateway. You know. Then straight away, I know what that thing is. I just signed away. I already know how to relax, maintain awareness, yeah, and I can stabilize it. I can be at the location I want to be. Then I just silent. Oh, the most amazing thing happened. After that, all my external yin-yang energy that I developed from my own mindfulness when I returned to the center through my kaya nupasana start to melt inside. Then I become so still. It's like a car perfectly tuned until no vibration. No sound. Completely quiet. Then no thought at all, no, completely without thought. No. Then I was like a perfect human being, no, charged with all the pure energy. No. First time in my life, no, I was like a perfect human being. No. And that lasted for quite a while. No. Then after that, my meditation became very different. I just relax, go into it. Then the four support, I keep on doing. Then within 9 months, my mundane mind collapse. Yeah. Where the vibration has become so fine. Internal movement transformation. And all these things normal people cannot do until you locate the gateway. Then even when you locate the gateway, if you don't have a teacher, you also don't know what to do. Because a lot of things can happen. So this is what my nature go through and develop all the under. That's why no matter what you go through, I can guide you. Like Alicia, they still got a lot of work to do. But my this one is possible is my past cultivation. I have done it before. Then my this last guy, when he held my hand, he knew I was different. He held my hand, he knew my vibration so different. My awareness was already there. Then it's like he is meant to be to come and show me where the thing is. But I make a very strange vow in the past where this miscellaneous vow, I vow to develop the highest wisdom at any one time where my nature arises. Then I realize without the gateway, it's going to take me at least 10 to 15 years longer. So if I were to wait 10 to 15 years, by then, that time I was 35 years old, I would have been 50 years old only I can locate this gateway. Then later he told me, he said, Tio, we are 20 years later, he told me, he said, Tio, do you know, for people to reach here, the gateway, most of them are at least 80 years old already. Otherwise, they cannot reach there. Then he told me, he said, you are different, he said. You are different. You are very blessed, he said. Then he said, because of this one, a lot of things can speed up, he said, speed up. So it's like meant to be. But his way is different. He like energy. He like all this occult thing, all those things. Whereas I go the wisdom way. And when it happened, my internal movement transformation very different. Very different. So, although he was my last teacher, my last guide, but his mission is to show me this only. Then the rest all, the understanding is from my own past cultivation, then all this understanding that I share, he never teach me. Well, he is not a Buddhist. He is a Christian. But not a true Christian also. Well, his father was a Christian. But he speak from the Christian point of view. He believe in the soul and all those things. So different people, different. Okay, we have to stop already. I think exceeded by 8 minutes. So, Alicia, hopefully you go and listen. It will help you understand. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu. the sun. Then we will do the sharing of merits. Akasata ca bhumata vanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana etawat acamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatkalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and the worthy one. Then we end.